Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
You probably heard at least one news story about this year's Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, in Las Vegas. And it was probably covering the extensive implementation of AI and the products that were being exhibited. But something else was going on at the exhibit. Something much more important to Nevada's economy. It was the first show hosted in the Las Vegas Convention Center's complete $600 million expansion and renovation. After being talked about for many years, that center's expansion and renovation got underway in 2021. The new West Hall opened in the same year, and by the time CES opened in January, the Legacy Campus was completed as well. The center now offers a total of 4.6 million square feet of meeting and exhibit space, the largest trade show in the U.S. The construction industry's ConExpo took place there in March. So what does the massive project mean to the city and the region? KNPR's Heidi Kaiser recently put that question to Vanessa Claspel, Chief Sales Officer for the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, Nancy Droppo, the Vice President of Research for the Center for Exhibition Industry Research, and Lori Duquette, a Las Vegas-based account executive for the Expo Group. Here's that conversation.
Vanessa, Nancy, and Lori, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Vanessa, I want to start with you. You've been an executive with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority for going on a year now, coming from a Fairfax, Virginia-based hotel company. We'll get into the numbers in a moment, but just broadly speaking, what was your reaction when you saw the new Las Vegas Convention Center for the first time?
Incredible. It's not often that you see a city who has the means and the ability to invest in its infrastructure the way Las Vegas does. There is no doubt that this is really an exercise and an exhibition, right, of just what happens in Vegas from a scale, from the ambition and evolution of this city. So I would say the wow was quite evident for me coming into this role.
So we heard a few numbers about the convention center's expansion and renovation in the introduction, but let's zoom out a little bit. The convention center previously had more than 3 million square feet of exhibit space. That's those big warehouse-like rooms where companies set up their booths for a trade show, and something like 225 meeting rooms. How much and how many does it have now of each of those?
What I'd like to say really probably more on that is with the expansion, really what we were able to do is finally be able to have concurrent events in the building, where during renovation, we didn't have that. And a great example of that is to be able to have World of Concrete happen in 3/4 of the campus and heating and air happen in another portion of the campus. And all of a sudden we're compressing and maximizing every bit of the center. But what that really means is we're compressing and really creating demand throughout the city of Las Vegas. And so that means that we're filling hotel rooms. We're really making sure that we are thinking about Sunday through Thursday, when every one of our resort partners really need us to bring in meetings and events customers.
And that's due to the multiple halls. You have West Hall, North Hall, South Hall. But so what is the total of exhibit space available then right now?
Right. So we've got 2.5 million of usable square footage of exhibit space throughout the campus now that we're completed with the renovation.
Nancy, I want to bring you in here to put what Vanessa's saying in some perspective. Your organization tracks the size of gatherings that take place in those convention centers, so the business being done there, let's say. How does the number and size of Las Vegas trade shows compare to those in other top destinations?
I'm going to first cite data from Trade Show Executive. They are the entity that tracks space on a per venue basis. They track 291 venues in North America. And in terms of competitors, in terms of volume of space, you're up against McCormick, right? In Chicago, they've got 2.6 million prime space. So, I mean, you two are like above everybody else. Number three is Orange County, you know, in Florida, Orlando. Las Vegas is premier in terms of strategy. And so, you know, space looking to have more than one event happening on location, because there's only a handful of shows that need over 1 million net square feet of paid space. We track events that are 200,000 net square feet of space or larger. That too is an elite group. Many shows are smaller than that. So, right, Vanessa, you're out there trying to get multiple shows in to keep
We are, you know, and I think to add to that is, you know, for the calendar year of 2026, we will have over 46 of these large trade show conventions here in the building, which, you know, historically we've been number one. You know, when you look at last year, we hosted more trade shows than yes. Chicago, Orlando, San Francisco, and others. We really are the number one capital for this kind of business, which again really speaks to why it was so important that we do that renovation, we do that expansion, that thought of how do we support those 150,000 hotel rooms from all of our resorts in this destination.
And Nancy, coming back to some of the statistics that your organization tracks, how do those other numbers that Vanessa cited, the 150,000 hotel rooms, the 46 major events, how do those numbers stack up against those other top destinations of Chicago, Orlando?
This is a tally top 50 cities as quantified in the last time the census was done. So it was published in 23, but it's a tally of 2019. And Las Vegas held 716 events. Number two is Orlando, 495. But in this particular census, there was an aggregated dimensional index because volume of events is one measure, but that's square footage, which implies the number of exhibitors, but also attendance. And if you look in terms of that dimensional index, Las Vegas is far above everybody else. It was 100, whereas in this aggregated index, Orlando was number two at 38.
And it is worth noting here that there are other convention centers even within Las Vegas, which is sort of an exception compared to other cities as well, that we have multiple mm-hmm. venues. Vanessa, mm-hmm. there are many technological advances in the new convention center compared to the old one, such as the massive video screen that folks can see from the street driving by. I know there are a bunch. But if you had to narrow it down, what are the top two or three of the big technological advances there?
Well, I would say certainly from when we talk about, you know, in the Central Hall atrium, the fact that we have these three striking digital screens and, you know, really adding this opportunity for show organizers to have one-of-a-kind branding and advertising opportunities. The largest screen measures 75 feet by 42 feet, which is 4.5 times a highway billboard. You know, I would say the other thing is really making sure that we enhanced Wi-Fi capacity, working with our partner with Cox, making sure that that is very seamless, very high speed, really meeting to the need of attendees and trade show exhibitors. And then finally, I would say probably the last thing, while it's not maybe very tech, it's certainly very important being that we are here in Las Vegas, which is a new climate controlled concourse that connects our north and south halls, which really allows attendees now to move seamlessly between the two halls, but to do so without going outside.
Lori, I want to bring you in here. As we heard, you're an account executive for the Expo Group and you're based in Las Vegas. From your behind the scenes perspective of the people who actually sort of build the events and kind of make them happen, so to speak, how does the convention center's expansion and renovation for you compare to its previous iteration?
Well, one thing I could say, adding on to what Vanessa was saying about the lobby areas, I was also out at NAB and I saw activation right there in the West Lobby that was a real crowd gatherer and attendees were liking it. And then obviously with all of the added space and the improvements, it's an easier move-in for the exhibitors. But at the same time, those exhibitors also need to step up their game because now the facility, the venue is stepped up. So, you know, expectation from the attendee is I need to see the wow inside the exhibit hall as well as the, you know, the wow that I'm getting from just walking into the venue.
When you have a much larger venue like that, it could also come with some unexpected problems. Have you heard anything from your clients this spring about some maybe unintended consequences of that large size, maybe transportation or any back of the house challenges there?
I don't know that it was so much the move in the back of the house, but I think, again, the challenges they have is there's more competition because, just as Vanessa has said, it's an easy access now from hall to hall. So if an attendee is in West Hall and needs to get over to, you know, Central or North Hall or even South Hall, they're like not saying, I don't want to go outside, I don't want to get over there. They have an easier access to those areas. So it's how do you capture them when they're coming in that particular part of the venue, and how do you get them to spend more time with you?
And Vanessa, we as Las Vegans do hear people who visit us and stay with us because they're going to a trade show, or, you know, Uber drivers talk about attendees complaining about transportation within Las Vegas. Does the new center offer any solutions to some of those transportation issues?
Great question. Well, I think that really speaks to the Loop solution that we have. Yeah. We'll start with on campus. The Loop really moves very seamlessly and very quickly. And what the Loop project is, you know, it's the underground tunnels where guests are able to move between halls in Teslas and do so in a very quick manner. But then to also think about for that attendee who's wanting to travel off campus, the Loop is also now connecting our resort partners as well as the airport. So we're offering more solutions for transportation to really kind of make that an easier and more seamless. And it's all about how do we condense the amount of time that you're traveling between destinations.
Pulling back, your organization, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, tracks all kinds of visitor numbers, isolating some, such as convention attendance. So what percentage of people travel to the city versus conventions versus other kinds of individual and business meeting travel?
You know, we'll just use Q1 right now for calendar year of 26. What we really saw was over 2 million attendees traveled into the destination, all for conventions. This really speaks to one of the highest Q1, both occupancy quarters as well as convention quarters, again, coming out of renovation, to really be able to speak to how meetings and events really positively impact our cities and our hoteliers. We saw just for the month of March with ConExpo coming into the destination, a 33% increase in just, you know, convention attendance. And what that did overall for the month, you know, had a nearly 2% growth in occupancy, really, again, driven by those meetings and convention attendees who came into the destination.
And Nancy, how about the industry itself? Do you track the overall economic impact of the convention industry in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. And we're just publishing either today or tomorrow the economic impact. It's on a national level, so we don't have this data on a per-city basis. But the contribution to U.S. GDP had gone up to $96 billion for 2025. Before the pandemic, it was like around $101 billion. But what we're seeing is the resilience of our industry in play. To the issue of the data that for economic impact would be a function of what exhibitors and attendees spend in city, right? That's what you care most. It's heads in the beds. It's the issue of food service access, special events off-premise, that sort of thing. The data for attendee direct spend on a national level is just under 27. It's $26.5 billion nationally. And 24 direct spend on the exhibitor side of the equation, that wouldn't all be spent in the host city. It's like a $30 billion industry, just those two categories. So it's robust and it's coming back. It's growing.
Mm. So, and we did have folks from SEER on the program during the COVID-19 pandemic, which really hit the meeting and convention industry quite hard. Do you also track employment numbers, how many people the business employs?
We do. Right now, it supports 2.7 million individuals nationally.
And things have been
So,
kind of uncertain in the global economy overall. What's your outlook for the convention industry for the next 5 years? Do you expect it to get back up to those pre-pandemic levels?
well, we track forward. We have a forecast, and that's coming up. So, anybody who's in the business, you want to get access to the SEER index. But yes, we're seeing it. Let's be serious. Today, we're living in a very volatile business environment, right? Every day, something new happens. And I'm fascinated by the resilience of our economy and our industry, despite the many headwinds that are going on. But we're expecting that the industry overall, it was forecast to fully recover, but with all the different shocks that have happened, it's been pushed out. But we're expecting to be fully recovered as an industry overall in 2028.
and Lori, from your perspective, how is the recovery going? Are general contractors back up to the amount of business they had before the pandemic?
Yes, I think we're seeing good growth. I mean, we as an organization are looking at a strong growth year. But, at the same time, going back to what Nancy said, it's all about affordability. And I deal a lot with the individual exhibitors, the brands that, are the keystones on the floor. And again, they're looking at how did they stand out and still make it affordable and functional for their organization. We have to be a bit more creative, a bit, how do we still do some of what they're asking to do without getting to a point where it's so outrageously priced that they can't afford it?
And
Yeah.
Vanessa, what's your outlook then, looking forward to the next year, 5 years, 10 years?
We're fortunate. Right, we were just so fortunate. We recognize that our forecast for the next 5 or 6 years out is gangbusters. And what I mean by that is all of our annuals are committed, and in the process of recontracting, we're bringing in new shows, which is equally important, right? It's important to keep all of your existing, but you got to keep adding new. And so we're able to say that we have added nearly 15 new shows to our calendar going for the future. And so that's positive. So we're feeling very confident in our destination and what we have to offer, whether it be, obviously here at our convention center, or whether it's our partners at Mandalay Bay or Venetian. As a whole, we are all feeling very, very proud and very optimistic as we look forward.
Vanessa Claspill is with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. Nancy Drapeau is with the Center for Exhibition Industry Research. And Lori Duquette is with the Expo Group. Vanessa, Nancy, Lori, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a note, KNPR's managing editor Heidi Kaiser's husband works in the convention industry, though not with any of the guests on today's show.